Very good morning to you. A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Welcome to Eagle FM. It's a Monday morning. I hope you had a very beautiful and restful weekend. And so that, you know, this morning you are ready to have a significant contribution to the well-being of this beautiful country. It's a Monday morning, the 7th of the 7th month. The year is 2025. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. So, my name is Mike Oshoveli, and you are tune into Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. So whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It is about you. Share your thought, your opinion, and your perspective on the topic that matter most to you. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, good morning and welcome to your number one talk radio station in the land. And thanks for joining us this morning. It's always a pleasure for us to be in your company. So today is the 7th of the 7th month, that's July 2025. So let's get to our segment on this day in Africa. What happened on this day in Africa? So the 7th on the 7th of July 1954, Tanzania commemorate the founding of the Tanganyika African National Union, TANU, in 1954, which played a pivotal role in the country's independence and the later unification of Tanganyika and Zanzibar to form Tanzania. So it is a national holiday marked by events such as Dar es Salaam International Trade Fair. So on the same day, on the 7th of July 1973, the Afrikaner Resistance Movement, the AWB, a right-wing group opposing racial integration and apartheid reforms, was established in Ventersdorp, in South Africa. So, and celebrating annually on July the 7th, African Integration Day. Today is African Integration Day, which was established by the African Union to promote unity and economic integration across the continent. So the day highlight achievement and ongoing effort under the initiatives such as Africa Continental Free Trade Area. So, and also today, the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, declares 7th as a World Kiswahili Language Day in 2021. So Kiswahili is recognized for its role in uniting East African countries and is one of the most widely spoken language in Africa, with over 200 million speakers. So the other notable event is July 7, 2000, the EAC was established to foster cooperation and integration among Tanzania, Kenya and Uganda with Kiswahili as a unified language. So the East African Community was established on July 7, 2000. The EAC, the East African Community, was re-established to foster that cooperation and integration among those four or three countries. So, good morning, and that was our that was on this day in Africa, some of the significant event that happened in the history of Africa. And today, the 7th of July, Monday, thought for the day is, it is normally the child that comes to fetch the fire, that comes to fetch fire, that gives away what is being cooked. It is normally the child that comes to fetch fire, that gives away what is being cooked. So the Proverbs highlights the painful reality that betrayal often comes from the position of great trust and not from outsiders. So the proverb reminds us that mere trust is not enough. Evaluation of character and reliability is critical. So especially when revealing secret or delegating a task. So that means, you know, when you revealing secrets or delegating tasks, so familiarity, someone that is just closer to you is not enough, or mere trust is not enough. So evaluation of character and reliability is crucial. So today's thought of the day, it is normally the child that comes to fetch fire that gives away what is being cooked. All right, so that's our thought for the day. Hopefully will guide your decision you're making throughout the day today. So, and welcome to Eagle FM. So, and if you want to continue, you know, listening to Eagle FM, stay connected with us through our website or through Eagle FM mobile app. And you can download the Eagle FM mobile app through Google Play and Play Store. And on an app there, you can be able to really find very exciting features on our Eagle FM mobile app. So, and please do follow us. Do follow Eagle FM and The Villager on our social media platform, X, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, you know, Telegrams, and so on. So engage with us on these social media platforms. Make use for those platforms, and make sure you leave us a comment or a like or that love signs. So we would appreciate that, but we would love to hear your comment as well. We want to hear your feedback. So that's very important to know how we're doing, and also the product or the features that we will bring it to you. How respond to that so that we know how you feel about those. So, and if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, earlier on, David actually went through, highlighting what are the articles, just headlines of the articles that are in our newspaper, The Villager. So, and if you want to really, look reading them, the latest business and economic news, well, what you need to do is just get yourself a free copy of The Villager by simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email 2081-241-44, 081-241-44. So make sure that you save that number as a contact, and the Villager is published every Monday and Wednesday and Friday. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, and if you want to advertise your business, or you have an event that you want to, you have an event or a function or a workshop or a conference, and you want to expose it in real time, kind of real time exposure via live streaming or broadcasting, contact our office. Today's Monday. You can just do that already at 8 o'clock. Office number is 083-288-400. So, good morning to you, and welcome to Eagle FM. And you just tune in to Unpacking the Day. So when we come back, we get into our first item on the show. Stay tuned.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
So very good morning to you. If you just joining us, today is our time right now. It's 48 minutes past the hour of 7. And those are the regular listeners of F&B segment, F&B Namibia segment. Well, unfortunately today, we didn't get a representative to come and present the segment. So what, next time? Probably next week, we'll probably get somebody to be able to do that. So, but anyway, so welcome, to Eagle FM. If you're just joining us, our time is about 48 minutes past the hour of 7. And, so we go until the hour of 9 past 30 minutes, half past 9, this morning. So, yeah. So, and today we have got some news worth taking, worth talking about. So Namibia has been taken off the global hunger hotspot list. So earlier on, David was actually talking about the King Philemon initiative. About the potato harvest, and indicating that, you know, for us to be able to fight food security initiative like that can be applauded, can be really applauded, and also become a model, or not an example to any other other people who want to take similar initiatives, especially when we're talking about hunger here. So this this comes from the and by the way, that story, as I said, it's in our today's e-newspaper, The Villager. So please make sure that you go into that, you read that story for yourself. So, but you can only do that when you subscribe. If you subscribe, you'll be able to do that. So now this comes from the latest hunger hotspot report by the Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, and the World Food Program, WFP, covering June to October 2025. So the report identifies 13 countries and territories as hunger hotspots, where millions of people face the very real threat of starvation. So, and the harsh reality is that three out of the five of the world's most critical hunger hotspots are right here on our continent: Sudan, South Sudan, and Mali. So, but well, for us, the good news is that the report says Namibia is no longer one of the 13 countries facing the worst of food insecurity. So hopefully that's not just in terms of we are off the list, in terms of just for our reputation or just for the sake of getting off the list, but it's hopefully that on the ground we are doing something, like King Philemon Shumbwa, so that we are doing something that is actually, you know, making a difference, that make us get off from that hot list, hunger hot list. It's not just, you know, paperwork that make us get off, that there are really concrete initiatives that we are implementing that make us improve that list. So, and last year we were on that list with our neighbors like Lesotho, Malawi, Zimbabwe, but now all of us have been given a breather. So now the report points to the reasons why we all have been given that, have been off. We all now off on that list. The report actually points to a better weather. So those rain we have praying for, that we have been, you know, praying for, and finally showed up. So we have got better harvest this year, and our livestock have been also, you know, spared from the drought. So, but, and there is always but, you know, according to these experts, they always, you know, there's always a but. So these experts are quick to say, this is not, it's not a done deal. So it's kind of like, well, this is not a done deal. And they warn that future climatic shift, if future climatic shift happens, could put us back on that list again. So it's always depend on the climatic shift. So, and it said, now this was because of better weather that we had last year, or this year, from last year, this year, the rain that we have comes from your praying as well, that we have been praying. So, and finally we had some good rains that gave us a really good, a better harvest this year. So that also saved, our livestock as well. So it's like, you know, when you fix a leak roof, when now they say they warn that the future climatic shift could put us back on that list again. So now, so that's, I think in a sense, it's like when, you know, it's like when you fix a leaking roof, you know, during your sunny spell and you are happy. But you know that next storm, that could test it again. So it means that yes, we can celebrate. But you know, the next storm again could actually test that leaking roof again. So last year in May 2024, the WFP, the World Food Program, said that 1.3 million of us, 1.3 million of us, or million of Namibians, almost half of the country, were at risk of serious hunger by early 2025. So that's a very, when you think in terms of, that's kind of like every other person you know wondering where their next meal actually is coming from. Think of a 1.3, definitely that means it's almost every person that you know, wondering really where their next meal is coming from. So the better rainfall we had helped us really dodge that bullet for now, but we can't just sit back and relax. So for now, we are spared by that, but you know, the whole thing is not, can we just sit back and relax and hope that things are okay now? So, you know, Namibia is one of the thirstiest countries in Africa. Not because underground we have a lot of water. So not because we don't have water, just because we don't have means of actually taking that water out. So our farmers, especially in the rural area, depend on the rain, a car depend on fuel. So when it's good, life is good. When it's bad, like that killer drought in 2023, 2024, it's a nightmare. It's really a nightmare. So half the country was hungry, and President Ngoro Mbumba had to call a state of emergency. So, and that is not a distant memory. It was yesterday's news. So while it is great that we are off this hotspot list, we have got to ask, is this a real progress? Is this a real progress, as I said earlier on, or just luck with the weather? Maybe we're just luck with the weather, and then next year again, we are back on the list. So, and this is where, actually, this is where we need to be critical. This is where we need to be critical, because the FAO and WFP says this improvement was all about weather, not because we have fixed how we grow and save food and share food. Okay, it has nothing to do with that. So that means if the rain stop, we are in trouble again. So we are actually still playing a game of chance with the sky, you know, hoping that it will continue to favor us. But that is not solid plan, and that is not a solid plan for a country like ours. So other countries on this hotspot list, like Sudan or South Sudan. So what is really driving, you know, driving the hunger, it's war and conflict. This is actually, those are some of the drivers of the hunger in this country, in those countries. And we are blessed, to have peace here. But we have got our own struggles. So we really have got our own struggle, struggle of unemployment over 40%. And for young people, it's even worse. So even when the harvests are good, So when we're talking about unemployment, and that puts a lot of people in those in a situation where they cannot even afford, you know, afford to eat well. So let's, even when the harvests are good, not everyone can afford to eat well. We still have people that are suffering from hunger. So if we look at the integrated food security phase class, classification, the IPC analysis provide a projection for the period from October last year, 2024, to March this year, 2025, stating that approximately 1.26 million people in Namibia, that's over 41% of the analyzed population, are expected to experience crisis. So the crisis, the IPC phase three, which is worse food insecurity level. So, and this include 100,000 people in emergency. Now, emergency is IPC, is identified as IPC phase four, indicating a severe level of hunger, requiring, that's now requiring an urgent action. So, and this is where we found ourselves. This has been really critical, to Namibia. And thank God also for the support from our friends, support from our friends, like China, you know, the Japan also gave us something, and other countries that really, send us aid. So when you look at that projection, the projection represents about 45% increase compared to the previous year. So it has gotten worse, you know, if you compare to the previous years. So initiatives like the one we're looking at, like the one that is being covered in our stories today, like, you know, King Philemon, Shumbwa, those initiatives are very important. They make a difference. They really make a difference because, especially because they are right where the people that needs, right where the those people who need this, who need food. So, the issue here is that, and it's something that maybe we should look at the drive. What is the drive of we talked about that country like Sudan and South Sudan, war and conflict are driving their hunger. So what is actually driving, what is driving hunger in Namibia? So what is driving hunger in Namibia according to this report? One is the climatic shift or shocks, if you like. So the El Nino, that broad drought, described as the worst in 100 years, has severely impacted agricultural productivity. Poor households that normally rely on rain-fed agriculture, making them vulnerable to drought and erratic rainfall, as noted by the FAO. By FAO. So that has, is one of the drivers, of hunger in Namibia, because we rely too much on rain fed agriculture. There aren't any plans in the way, you know, that more resilient, kind of initiatives that doesn't depend on the rain-fed agriculture. So the other thing the report indicates is the economic decline. So economic challenges, including higher unemployment and prices, the price hikes or shocks, these aggravate the situation of food security in the country. particularly for resource poor household, and women and youth, as we have a number of youth that are unemployed, the elderly, child that are orphaned, for example, the unemployed. So, and also those who are affected by, you know, maybe people who are affected by, chronic illness, maybe by HIV and so on. So, yeah, so the decline in economic, especially economic challenges has also, it's also one of the drive of hunger for a country like Namibia. And then the limited livelihood opportunity. So there are limited agricultural labor when it doesn't rain. As I said, we all depend on rain-fed agriculture. So when it doesn't rain, then in the labor in agriculture become limited. So, and also, the other thing is also the reliance of external market for food consumption. So we rely more on external market for our food consumption. 60% with a 60% of, say for 60% of cereal needs, is imported. So making household less resilient to actually shocks or price hike and other disruption of resources. So yeah, so that's, imagine 60%, eh? So that limited livelihood opportunity, that when it doesn't rain, people cannot be able to plow, and also that reliance of external market for food, it could become also one of the drivers of this hunger that we experience. But lucky enough, initiatives like as we're talking about, has probably helped us to, maybe not this one now, but other initiatives that, or maybe the number of aid that we receive. As the WFP said, it exactly has nothing to do with what we did. It actually just has to do with the better weather. So what do we need to learn from that? So now the report says we need sustained intervention and climate resilience. So in a plain language or plain English, that means we can't just hope for rain. So we cannot just hope for rain, and we have got to build a stronger. Now we have to build a stronger system, maybe grow crops that don't need much water. Get some tough desert plant, you know, that grows in those dry area, that grows in the desert. So, or fixing up our dams and boreholes so we are not caught off guard, you know. So, and small farmers could use more help too. They could also use more help. Seed, provided with seed as tools and or training to keep, you know, to keep going even when the weather is not favorable. So our people just know one way where, as we're talking about rain-fed agriculture, our people just know, you know, still wait in the same way. Maybe farmers need training. Maybe people need training. We need to introduce some seed that actually resistant to, you know, to dry conditions, to the new change of weather patterns. So where is our scientist? Where is our researchers? And, you know, so that's what we need. People need to be guided now, given the change of weather and climate change. So that's where is those, you know, those of you who are sitting at home, the graduates that are sitting at home with this information, maybe this is where you now you have to come in and help our farmers and train our farmers, give them the latest updated, you know, information in given the condition, the weather condition we find ourselves now. So, as I said, many still farmers, small farmers, they just wait for rain. We wait for rain and we do what we have been doing for many 50 years, 100 years. We are exactly doing the same thing. And it could be that, you know, time have changed. We need to adopt new methods use more resilient seeds, maybe. Where are you? So as I said, it is have actually we need now to train our farmers to keep going, even when the weather is not on our side. So I think we need to learn now to, it's kind of like the saying, we're saying someone, you know, it's like giving someone a fish rod. You give someone a fish rod instead of just fish, you know, because what at this point in time, we're getting used to aid, you know, we're getting used to aid until it becomes, people becomes more, their thinking, the way of looking at this become, they change. Where we just sit, well, we waiting for the government actually to give us the drought to relieve food. So we have to be very careful that it doesn't become a habit, that it doesn't become the way of our way of dealing with the drought, and which it doesn't even depend on us. It depends on a foreign aid that we get as a help, and if we become. And we have seen this, our leaders, not wrongly doing it, not that I understand that it's the wrong way to do. We go around begging. So we go around begging, you know, that we, that we can't, you know, we can't produce our own food. We can't produce our own food. And if you depend on somebody, you know, for your survival, for your food consumption, definitely that you are in trouble. You are absolutely, absolutely in trouble. You know, you become a slave of the person that give you feed, that feed you. In one way or another, as I said, all this aid, they don't just come because of, you know, these countries love Namibians and, you know, yes, we are friends and friends support each other, but there is always something. Even it doesn't come in public where to say, well, we got this donations or aid absolutely free. Nothing. You don't get things for free. You don't get things like that for free. Other people work hard for what they give you. So they cannot just hand it to you for free. So yeah, give someone, you know, give us now the fish rod, you know, instead of just fish. And we want to eat today and tomorrow, not just today and tomorrow we go on begging again. Yeah. So now, the other thing that is concerning, what is also concerning, it's about the report. What is concerning about the report is the very lifeline that many of our country depend on. So as I said, humanitarian aid that we receive from other countries is being slashed dramatically. It's actually, that has become, it dwindling. It become less and less and less. So when it comes to the FAO, the and also World Food Program, So the report revealed something absolutely, absolutely shocking. As of early May 2025, only about 9% of the required funding for food security, only about 9% of the required funding for food security and 4% for nutrition had been received globally. So we are talking about a humanitarian funding system that is essentially collapsing. So, and we know this, the United States, which provides 30% of global development assistance, has made a brutal cuts. You remember? A brutal cuts under the Trump's administrations. So, and they have eliminated over, 5,300 U.S. Aid programs worth of $75.9 billion U.S. dollars. So as those cuts, happened, that it has so much influence on the food security on the continent and countrywide and worldwide. So the European donors also, are following suit with their own cuts. So, and the result? So the Institute for Security Studies estimate that Africa could see 5.6 million more extreme poor people by 2026. So with the funding and humanitarian aid and so what we are witnessing is a vicious circle. It's a vicious circle. Country facing economic challenges become more dependent on aid. So that we will see this vicious circle. And we will sell the country. We will sell the country for food. We will sell the country for food. So, and I said, this become a vicious circle. We highlighted our own, what are the drivers of hunger in Namibia, and economic challenges are one of them. So, and we become more dependent on aid, and that's a fact. We are dependent on aid, on the foreign aid. So, but now as the aid decreases, as we see now, the aid decreases, their capacity, so our capacity also to respond to crisis diminishes. So, and this makes these countries, especially in Africa, this make them more vulnerable to shocks, which in turn actually worsen their economic situations. So that's the vicious circle that I'm talking about. And think about African Union. The African Union had set a target for eliminate hunger. Do you know what year was it? Do you know what year they set a target to eliminate hunger? Do you know what year it is? What year was that they decided by this year hunger should be eliminated? Eliminated in Africa. So do you know what year it is? 2025. So they had set a target to eliminate hunger by 2025. Well, we know that in 2025, we are now in 2025, and instead of eliminating hunger, so we are actually seeing it spreading. This is the challenge. This is the vicious circle that I'm talking about. We are seeing it spreading. Nearly one in five African is hungry. One in five Africans is hungry. So, and while the rate has decreased since the mid 1990s, so the absolute number, the absolute numbers keep actually growing. It keeps growing because the population is increasing. So we haven't reached our target, and the number of people is increasing. This vicious circle that I'm talking about. So now the report also talks about what can be done. The report emphasized that maybe targeted humanitarian action is urgently needed, targeted. And we're talking about, conflict areas like Sudan, so South Sudan, maybe some in Mozambique, Democratic Republic of Congo, all those areas. Targeted humanitarian actions is urgently needed. But the emphasis also, that's now to say we are in this situation and we need to save people. And that's exactly where we were. We were in the situation where we needed our foreign friends to come to our aid. There's also an emphasis that they call for long-term solutions. We have to find a long-term solutions. And that's also a problem in Namibia. We always feel like this, we are caught off guard. It has been many years that we know if it's not a flood, it is actually drought. And for many years now, we're seeing this. I just don't know whether we have the ability to study the pattern, climate pattern within in our country, and then make a right decision. So we always caught off guard. We always seem to be like caught off guard. So yes, there's that emphasis that we need that also a call for a long-term solutions. So we need to invest in resilient food system, expand the social protection programs, and address the structural cause, of food security. What are those structural causes of food insecurity? In some cases, there were people who were arrested. Imagine now, we have this aid. We have even people who have actually stealing food that is actually meant for the poor. But we have to look at in a bigger picture. So how do we secure food security? So, and then we have now to address the structural causes of food insecurity. Land is one thing. Land could be one of the things. By availing land, we would be able then to use that land for food production. Like as we have seen, exactly the example that we're talking about, the king of Ndonga. Yeah. Availing land. Yeah? So, and really spending, the other thing is, and we see now the government have done this, put a lot of money. Money will never be enough. Put a lot of funds in agriculture. But it's how, it's always about money is actually good enough to start, But it's how it's being used. It's the implementation of the programs. But here's a critical question, right? Can Africa break this cycle, this cycle of dependency? Can we really break this cycle of dependency? Well, some experts argue that the aid cut, maybe it's a blessing in disguise. So they say, while it is devastating, it is a good thing. While it's devastating in a short term, so that might force African countries to develop more sustainable, self-reliant approaches to development. So that means, they are now have to come up with approaches that that are more sustainable and that are self-reliant to development. So, but for millions, yes, that in a short terms, but now in a short terms, the millions are facing hunger right now. And that is terrible. That's tragic. So what should be done? What can be done? So, and Namibia being off the global hunger hotspot list, of course, is the good news. And we should feel proud. It shows Namibia has got, how do you call this, has got a bounce back power. So we have that bounce back power. We were on the list, we could be able to get off. So that means we have some bounce back power. But it's also a reminder that we can't just cross our, you know, cross our arms and wait for the next crisis. Eh? So we cannot just, that's not sustainable. So we need to push ideas that last, the ideas like what the one we're talking about. Read it today in our e-newspaper, supporting our farmers, closing that, you know, in Namibia, and this is a problem, closing that rich-poor gap, the inequalities. Yeah? So those are the structural challenges that we need to, structural causes of food insecurity. So making sure every child, that should be, that every child gets a decent meal. In Namibia, as the president always, we are too few to be poor. Making sure every kid get a decent meal. So imagine in Namibia where we are not. Imagine, we always, like, as I said, we always seem to be caught out of our breath every time. So, and just imagine where we are not scared for the next drought. So, like, we are not scared. We relax that, well, whether it comes or not. So, like, we are not scared of the next drought because we are ready for it. We've never been ready. We've never been ready for drought or for flood. So, and that must be the goal, really. That must be the goal. Being ready. So, and that's the challenge. That's the challenge for everyone, I think. Not only the government, but, you know, private sectors. We as citizens as well. Yeah, we should be. That must be the goal. That must definitely be the goal. All right. So what do you think? What do you reckon? So what is your take? Please do come through and have your take. And this is a very important, because this is something that we really have experienced this. Sometimes I think of this way, you know, because we, and this is, we are proud, and I said we should be proud of our government, of what they have done. They go around begging, you know, we go around begging to feed your people, you know. So in that way, we should be proud of them, that they go around begging, you know, to feed us. But it can become the norm, that we're not looking at approaches that that are more sustainable, that are more self-reliant, yeah. But we always hope, you know, there will be some people who come to our aid. Consciously, we may, you know, say we need to do something, but subconsciously we just, you know, there will be always somebody that will come to our aid. And as I said, as the president said, we are too few to be poor. Really, we are too few to be hungry, to have. And if you look in some region, you have people who have died of malnutrition. We were talking about the other day, we were talking about Omaheke, where you have how many? There was, you know, Hangwen as well, we're talking about Omahek as well. There were a number of children died of malnutrition. So, a country like Namibia, seriously, with just about 3 million people, with the amount of resources that we have, come on, there's just something not right. There is just something not right. And this is, and the reasons why, the reasons why, from, you know, from early morning and other programs that we bring you, it's, we want to create that awareness and that we don't sit, we don't become these people who think we have voted for you, now do this for us. So we leave it up to them. And then until the next election is again, and then we start all over again. No, we want you to be responsible. We want you to, you know, to take this process in your own hands. So we want you to take your life, you know, whether it's political life, whatever, whatever, you know, your social life, whatever, where you find yourself in a situation, we want you to take into your hand. And you can only do that. I always say that you can only do that when you know. All right. And these are the things that we give you, that information for you to understand where you are at. And we need to read more, and we need to listen to Eagle FM more. So someone said, you know, for a Namibian, if you want them to be poor, if you want Namibian to be poor, whatever make them rich, whatever they make them wealth, put it in the book. They will never find it. Whatever would make them rich, actually, make them better, put it in the book. They will never find it. What is true? We don't read. Well, at least you should be listening to Eagle FM, because that's where we bring you this kind of information, especially, you know, information on bread and butter, things that affect, things that, you know, have to do with your bread and butter on a daily basis. So that's what we're trying to do here. Create that awareness, you know, give you information that are important for you to make decisions and also to take action, whether in your community or overall in the country, and give you this perspective. So, well, what do you take? What is your take? What do you reckon? So our telephone number, now we are in on Dangwa, not in Windhoek anymore. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So, and you're welcome. If you didn't get a time, during David times, and there are issues that he possibly have, you know, highlighted, and you didn't get a time to respond or to react to that, you're most welcome to come through as well and have your response or your take of some of the issue that we tackled so far from this morning, even from the early morning scoop, you're most welcome to come through and have your reaction or your comment or your perspective or your take or your contribution. So our time is about, someone is covering my time. It's about 34 minutes past the hour of 8. So you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 08333-66091. 08333-66091. Come on, guys. All right, so, wow. All right, so, there are these technical things sometimes become very, very, very difficult. Come on. All right, let's sort this out later, and then we come back. All right. Okay, so we were supposed to have all this, you know, the advert coming through, but, you know, someone is doing this. All right, so, yes, please do come through, covered so far. So please, our telephone number again, 0833-66091, 0833-66091. You are most welcome to come through and have your opinion and, and your take on what we have, covered, so far. All right.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not pick up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudia, with the Kirotaguna, E. Matina, Omjo, Chicago Shafat and Anana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuitamoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tango, what is a winning? Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom, Banawa, or Chica, Saitanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Eagle FM Media House. Gwe tuende tine meha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimu po yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome back. And our time is about 38 minutes past the hour of 8. And the unpacking the day goes up to 9:30 this morning. I will be with you until 9:30. So please do come through and have your opinion or your reaction to some of this of the discussion we have so far. So our telephone number again, it's in Ondangwe Studio, 0833-66091, 0833-66091. And welcome to Unpacking the Day, so where we dive into the stories that shape our lives. Now, let's talk about last week. There was this big push from the government to make things work better for all of us, I think. Urgent law. So the urgent law reform to speed up service delivery. Now, the president, Nandi Netumbo, Nandi Ndaitwa, Demperila. Don't forget that one. Through the Prime Minister, Minister Elia Ngurale, Prime Minister Elia Ngurale, Elijah or Elia Ngurale, told the Parliament, he actually told the Parliament that we need to fix laws that are holding back government program. All right? We need to fix laws that are holding back the government programs. So these are the project promised. These are the project promised by or promised in the SWAPO Party manifesto. Things like better schools, clinics, roads, and water supply. So if there are laws, fix the laws that are holding back government programs. So that's what the president instructing the ministers, instructing the lawmakers. So the president says that there are legal gray areas. There are legal gray areas, and those legal gray areas rules that are unclear or maybe outdated that make it hard to get these things done. So get rid of them. So the government wants to clear those up fast. So because they are hindering or in the way of implementing its priorities. So, and one big reform for the government is the government is working on is the original council amendment bill, right? Original council amendment bill tabled by Urban and Rural Development Minister James Sankwasa. So, now, right now, as we know, and there are a few things that in that bill, when it comes now to reform, the reform that the president is talking about. So now, the regional councils are made up of elected politicians. All right? They handle things like hiring and firing stuff. So, but when politicians control those decisions, it can lead to, well, favoritism. Maybe you're hiring your cousins or someone from your party. Would you actually hire someone if you know that they don't belong to your party? Hiring your party members, someone from your party, instead of the best person for the job. And we have seen this. We have. So it's not only in terms of party, but it's also in terms of, you know, this is the corruption that we're talking about. So it doesn't only happen in terms of political parties, but it's also happening in private or wherever in the government as well. So this bill says now, the bill says, let's take the power away from the politicians. So let's take the power away from the police and give it to the professional administrators. So it is like having a proper HR department at your workplace. Eh? So making sure hires are based on skills and not connections. So, well, they are also human. They could be. You can't escape this, actually. So the goal of the bill, what is the goal? It's more fairness, more transparency, and less room for corruptions. Doesn't mean you eliminate it completely, but less room for corruption. So that's the decision. So that the government is working on. They realize that, you know, actually hiring our comrades, sometimes it doesn't get our implementation plan into actions. And probably you have seen it in how, I think that's a reflection of the president. You have seen it how she has made her selections. Get the professionals. You know, in specific position, in position. So get the people, get the best person for the job. Get the best person for the job. Not particularly, the, because the person is actually a member of whatever group or political party or something like that. And we have those who complained. We have some who complained. Remember, I think a few weeks ago, those who think that, they were ignored. There were some people that have been ignored. They had been at forefront of campaigning and all that, and they were not considered in terms of positions, you know. So that's where now the Regional Council Amendment Bill comes in as well. So, and other laws as well that need to come into place. According to the president, this reform is necessary to make sure that the government delivers on its promises. Whether it's fixing potholes in Windhoek, for those of you in Windhoek, this is one thing that most people complain in Windhoek. There are so much potholes. So whether it's fixing potholes in Windhoek, building a clinic in Rundu, or getting electricity in a village in Kunene, we need system that works. We need system that works. Okay? And as Mandume always said, we need to get rid of some cockroaches as well, you know, that are hindering this process to take place. Is that as much you can have well-intended policies and nicely crafted, and you know, but the cockroaches, they will make sure that, you know, it fails. So it absolutely fails. So yeah, as I said, according to the president, this reform are necessary to make sure that the government delivers on its promises. And we have seen with some ministers, we have seen Nekundi. So we have seen there are certain changes that they already made. Sangwasa's, there are certain changes. Yeah, even Minister of Health, you know, where there are some changes that we see. So, yes, that's what we want to see. That's what we want to see. So right now, some laws are like old. You can give an example like an old rusty bucky, you know. they are slowing us down. They no longer, you know, some of those maybe they run as far as 60 kilometer per hour. That's the final, like your speed. So, and the president wants to trade those in, trade them in for something that runs smoothly. Okay. Some projects get done on time and money is not wasted. So, and sometimes it's just wasted because of either bureaucratic and the laws. And much of this is functioned because of the laws. So, but also say it's not, yeah, the other things here, the president said, it's not just the law. So it's not just the law. The president's message was loud and clear, about corruption and delays as well. Okay. So, the corruption and delay, she said, the government shall not tolerate corruption, delaying tactics, and corridor hindrance. That's the word of the president. So the government is not shall not tolerate corruption and delay tactics and those corridor hindrances. So those are the, as I said, those are what Manduma always says, the cockroaches. So that's actually a fancy way to say no more excuses. No more excuses. So that's what the president is actually saying. So minister have been told, also the minister have been told to submit progress report every 3 months and make sure that it has been over 3 months already, and shouldn't they made be public? Shouldn't we shouldn't that made be public so that, you know, we all see what each ministers have what they have done so far? Well, we're still waiting. Maybe there's a compilation of what the government have done. But please, okay? So we don't want just a list of things that the government have done. We want to know what were the target. So what were the target? If the minister was given that within this quarter, so you must build 3 clinics. We need to know how many clinics were built. So we cannot just told 3 clinics. We're not just told 1 clinics were built in where. And then we tend to think, oh, there was a clinic built. But what was the target? The target was about 4 clinics, 3 clinics, not 1. So that we need to be able to evaluate, you know, how the ministers and those who are responsible, whoever are responsible, are doing. So even the presidents, what were the target that we needed to reach in the first quarter? You know, and then that's how we compare whether you have been successful enough or whether you have achieved what you have set to achieve or not. So, as I said, the minister have been told to submit progress report every 3 months and make sure every cent allocated for project is spent properly. And that was the president said, make sure that every cent, you know, allocated for project is spent properly. No more sending money back to the treasury because a project wasn't finished. That got to stop. And what are the other things that we didn't know, we didn't hear, you know, from the president last week through the prime minister in the parliament is that what happened to the people who then are not, you know, up to scratch, who haven't performed, what will happen to them? So that has to be also clear so that we know when you're not performing, get out. Get out. Let's get people who are ready to do the work. So, that hasn't been stipulated. That we haven't seen. So we need to see that. So that has to be very clear as well. So the thing is Namibia's got some, we really got some tough challenges. You know, we really, really have got some tough challenges and we need to make up for those things. Unemployment over 40% and especially for young people. So there is unequal, you know, inequality. Our Gini coefficient, which measures the gap, you know, between the rich and poor, is one of the highest in the world, actually second highest in the world after South Africa, or maybe the third, I don't know. So, and in rural areas, people are still waiting for basics, basic like clean water, basic like reliable electricity. Eh? So this reform could help then. So the whole idea is that this reform could help by making government more efficient and transparent. And that's why I said we need to know. Don't just tell us we have built 1 clinic in Wewe. Give us the target. What were the target in the quarter and how much have you done? So that's how we can evaluate. But only if, so as I said, this reform could help by making the government more efficient and more transparent, but it's only if they are done right. So, and sometimes you have the people that need to implement. The laws are changed or the laws are there, and we have this. This is not the first thing. This is not like something new and something, you know, revolutionary that we didn't know before, that hasn't been done before, that has been done. there has been always new laws and new ways of doing things that has been, you know, but lack of implementation. And even the people that in those positions understand that a lack of implementation in Namibia is a big, 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 big problem. And we have to find a way. And we don't seem to have. We don't seem to have so far. So, for example, the regional council amendment bill could make local governance better by keeping politics out of administration decisions. If that comes, if that happens now, so it could actually make that your politics is out of the administration decisions. But we have seen that even when we have the law, we have seen with MITCO. So that has not kept politicians out of of administrative decisions. So we have seen that. So maybe in the future then, what that means is that if, for example, if a clinic in Hangwena needs a new nurse, so we want the best candidate, not someone, you know, not someone's friend or someone's cousin or whatever the case may be, especially when you have now a lot of people on the street, a lot of nurses on the street. So instead of actually the best candidate, we people that are, you know, politically, if you are, you know, that's what we make in local governance now, better be by keeping politics out of the administration. So people will look for the best candidate, not just because someone, you know, someone who knows someone as who knows someone as who, as who is that? As Helmut always say, so that you need to know someone to who knows someone, who knows someone for you to, you know, to get on the table. Okay. To be not even considered to be on the table, you know, to be much, much closer to the table, but not on the table yet. Okay? So, now, but we have to understand that the bill is just one piece of the puzzle. We need to make sure it is enforced properly. It is enforced properly with strong oversight to prevent the loopholes, as it always has been the case. So, and it's not just about regional councils. So other laws need fixing too. So there's other laws that need fixing too, to speed up things like land delivery. You know, this is still an issue that we have. A land delivery is still an issue. So those laws need to be speed up as well. They need to be reformed. Or should we have this for years and years and years? So, and also delivery, land delivery, and also infrastructure projects. Okay? So we need that reform of laws, but it's not just about, actually, as I said, it also needs a strong oversight to make sure that we prevent those loopholes. All right? So, now, the president called for action. She called for action last week. So her call for action last week was very bold. Very, very, very bold. But words are one thing and results are another. So it's easy to talk. Talk is easy. You know, you can walk the talk. If you can walk the talk, so that's the challenge. So the regional council amendment bill, for example, so this sounds promising. And those are things that sound promising, but as we speak, it's still being debated in Parliament. Will it pass quickly? And we have, in terms of now, when I'm asking this, is that because we have other bills that are still in the Parliament, you know? And as we speak, the people are suffering, you know? So will it be passed quickly? And other bills as well. And will it actually reduce corruption? Would it reduce corruption? I'm saying, I'll give an example of MITCO, where there are laws, administrative laws, that prevent politicians to intervene, you know, to get, not intervene, but to, you know, to interfere. Eh? Will it actually reduce corruption? We have seen reform promised before. We have seen that. But sometimes they get stuck in bureaucracy, or just watered down. Eh? Those, you know, whatever policies, you'll see them on the shelf of the directors, of the executive directors, eh? Not put in effect, not put in practice. So, and what about the accountability? Because the president also says, the president says, ministers who don't deliver will face consequences. But how will that work? What are the consequences? Will we see really action against those who drag their feet or misuse funds? So will we be able to see that? So the call for anti-corruption commission to step up is also great, because she called that they must step up, but you know, anti-corruption needs resources. So they need resources. And also they need to be independent to do their job properly. So the interference that we're talking about, they also need to be independent to do their job properly. So, but anti-corruption need, with the little that they have, do they do a great job? But they need more, as we hear from them, as they hear, they say all the time, we need more resources. The other thing is that we need to make sure these reforms don't just benefit urban areas like Windhoek, but reach all 14 regions and 121 constituencies. As the president said, rural communities especially deserve to see what is a quote-unquote the dust of progress. So they need to see the dust. If there is a progress, napumoni konzi, onzi naitume. Napumoni ke kuchopwa lingasha, you know. So the dust of progress. We need to see the dust of progress. That's what the president said. So, and if there's no dust of progress, then, you know. So, but it's not just in Windhoek. And this is the thing it comes from colonial approach or something. Focus on the metropolitan, on towns, and a completely forgot the rural areas. So, because everything that you hear, of course I understand, because of facilities, because of any other things. So, because everything that you hear, it's around Windhoek, you know. Take anything that is happening around. 95% is either taking place in Windhoek or in Swakopmund, in a coastal area. Those are the areas that where any other economic activities, whether it's a workshop, whether, you know, a meeting. So are only taking places in those two areas, Windhoek and the coastal area, Walvis Bay and Swakopmund. So you could say that's where you have the facilities, but then if we don't actually, you know, put up facilities in the rural regions, we will stay behind. You'll stay behind. We will stay behind. So, as the president said, rural communities especially deserve to see the dust of progress. So, for what the president said, we need to keep, we need to keep our eye on this regional council amendment bill as it moves through the parliament. It is a chance to make a local governance fair, more fair, by law, but maybe by practice is something different. So make it more fairer, more efficient. But it, as we said, it needs to be stronger and strong and clear. All right. We also need broader reform to tackle other legal roadblocks. So maybe laws around land deliveries. We talked about that and project approvals. So, and let's push for real accountability. Yeah? If minister aren't delivering, so we need to see consequences, not just talk. We need to see really consequences. We need to see somebody fired. And the anti-corruption, we talk about that, could need needs to be empowered to go after malpractices, no matter who is involved. And sometimes, depending who is involved, you know, the things are not investigated. And so, yeah, I think we need to see that that improve, not just the talk. So, but in the end, this is also our fight. It is our fight. It's our fight too, a citizen. And that's what I said earlier on in the first item that I talked about. We can't just sit back. The reasons Eagle FM is trying their best, we are trying our very best. You know, let's ask questions. Are these reforms working? Are they working? Are we seeing results in our communities? In the community where you are you seeing result? There are still people who think, who are actually, who are not, still not enjoying the fruits, you know, of independence. If you don't have water, if you don't have electricity, you know, in your area, you don't have water, potable water, you don't have electricity, you don't have a shopping mall, you don't, you know, your school doesn't have electricity, you know, what fruits of independence are you enjoying? So, as citizens, as I said, let us just sit back. Let's ask question, are this reform working? Are we seeing results in our communities? Are projects being implemented or completed in time? You know, you act like, you know, you're it's like checking on a contractor building your house. So you have got to make sure they are doing the right job. So, all right. So, as I said, let's ask the right questions. And what is your questions? So what do you think about the president? It's something that the president really won the commitment from lawmakers, the ministers, the cabinet. And if things are not working, if the law is not working, so get rid of it. So, and how fast can we do that to be able to deliver the service to the people who needs it? So, yeah, what do you think? What is your take? Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091. 08-333-66-091. So you may welcome, you are welcome to come through now. And well, share your opinion, share your take of what we have covered so far. Our telephone number again, 08-333-66-091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha, with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Safa, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuika Moshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tango Kotisamwene, Anagishifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Oronjika. Seithanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yue, Kupitira, Mo, Eagle FM Media House. Ngwe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengera selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, this is Eagle FM. And if you're just joining us, welcome to Unpacking the Day. So, my name is Michael Chiavelli. And we are here until the hour of 9:30 this morning. So, yeah, we were looking at the statement of the president after 100 years. That was actually, not 100 years, 100 days in governance. We just highlight some of the issues that the president actually, talked about. Some issues like as a regional council, amendment bill. Move staff management from politicians to professionals. So that means let's the professional actually do the work. Do the hiring and the firing, not politician, and that would the whole idea would reduce favoritism. That's the point. Favoritism promote fairness and could improve local service delivery. So that's the goal, to improve the local service delivery, and the legal gray areas the president actually mentioned, that those unclear, outdated law, they are slowing down the projects. So they are slowing down the projects. So fix those one, fix them, and then fix these, and then maybe that can speed up the services, services like healthcare, educations, and definitely infrastructure. So, and then also the anti-corruption push, stronger action against corruption and bureaucratic delays. That's also another area that she spoke about. So that would actually build trust and ensure public funds are used properly. And then he also talked about the ministerial accountability. So where minister must report progress and use fund fully. So he doesn't want actually money to return to treasury. So the money must be used, the fund must be used fully, but not squandered just to make sure that you use them, but efficient as well to what it's intended to. And that's why anti-corruption pushes well, the stronger action against corruption. And the president feel that it prevent waste money and ensure projects are completed on time. Yeah, those are some of the things the president highlight. The highlight of the president's statement through the Prime Minister in the Parliament last week. So what is your saying? What is your take? What is your, what do you think? So 0833-66091, 0833-66091. So, well, it's 15 minutes past the hour of nine. So we are on to 15 minutes as well. So we have about 15 minutes before we say bye-bye. So you have plenty, still enough time for you to come through and have an air your views or your opinion on some of these matters.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, this is Eagle FM, and you are tuned in on Unpacking the Day. So our time is about 17 minutes past the hour of nine. As I said, you are most welcome. Welcome to come through and have your opinion, have your take of what we have covered so far. So just a quick one also, the Namibia Financial Institution Supervisory Authority, NAMFISA, the first quarter report for 2020, 2025. There's a report. They reported the one aspect that actually made some headlines is the total amount of micro loans grew by 13% compared to last year, so hitting 7.6 billion. So, well, that's a lot of cash, and the number of people taking out these loans also jumped to 259,266, almost one in 10 Namibians, one in 10 Namibians, quite a lot of, so a lot of people taking loans. So, but while the total loan amount grew, while the total loan amount grew, the number of new loans given out actually dropped by 6% from the previous quarter. All right, so it dropped a bit by 6% from the previous quarter, and that might mean lenders are being pickier, or people are borrowing less right now. Yeah, so Maybe let's look at the numbers. Let's look at the quick, let's quick look at the key numbers, you know, in this report. So the key numbers in this report. So the loan book growth, is 7.6 billion. It's up 13% year on year. And that shows, that definitely shows higher demand for microloans. And, but also, I think it's also show a potential debt risk as well. So, yeah. So it's a two-sided sword, you know. So, and then the number of borrowers, as we said, 256,266, up. It's up significantly from last year. That has actually increased so much from last year. So it indicates a reliance on microloans, and especially among unbanked or underbanked, you know, people. Yeah. So, and then you have the financial institutions, your cash loans and all that. So over 90% of 100 plus non-compliant NBFI are microlenders. So it raises concern about unfair practices and probably that there are weak enforcement, you know. So yeah, because now the consumer complaint, so 100 and you have about 110 complaint, 110 complaints and 59% from micro lending. So the 59% it's from the micro lending and 89% were resolved with about how much this with about 204,700 Namibian dollar paid out by Namfisa. So I think that's really highlights issues with lending practices. Yeah, but it also shows Namfisa's response. Yeah. So, and the total, non-banking financial institution asset, is 481 billion. It's up with 1.6% quarter on quarter and 12.8 year on year. So those are some of the, so what do you think? Are microloans helping or hurting? So do you think microloans are helping or actually hurting? So what is your take? What do you think? Just a quick look at that. I thought maybe it was interesting when I see the report. So what do you think? Are the microloans helping or they are hurting? They could be. As I said, it's kind of like depending on where you are. Yeah, it's, yeah. So what do you think? Are they helping the microloans? Are they helping or hurting? So what's your take? We have about 7 minutes, you know, for you to come through and share your opinion. 0833-66-0991. It's a number to dial. So you're most welcome. Take your chance.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly.
Good morning. Yes, welcome. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm alright. Sorry to call in the last minute, man. But I was listening, then I left the radio a bit. I mean, to take out because I was having a call. You see, now it's a problem also.
I know you still have about 4 minutes or so, so it's still enough.
Yeah, I left you when you were talking about accountability today.
Yeah.
When some people never tested the fruit of this country, which is true.
Yeah, no, definitely. Mm-hmm. There's still, for about 35 years, there are still people who haven't tasted the fruits of the independence yet.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If you were, the people who are dying born without a Namibian ID,
yeah,
and they die without a Namibian, what do you call it? Death certificate.
Yeah.
Mm. So, how would you qualify that person now? It's what I'm saying, in this country, we are people who are like, you know, we are different, even when it comes to the way we have been given birth. Some never cry in their whole life.
Yeah.
And, you know, who cry for the first time? They are ripping off. You can see they are survive when it comes to this earth. And this is what is happening. Because I'm telling you, they are key to never eat a bread without a bacon or eggs.
Yeah. that's a luxury for many. That's a luxury for men. Don't even mention kids. How many people in their house eat bread with either butter or some people will eat, you know, some of us sometimes you eat bread completely dry.
Dry, my friend, that's the thing. And I'm telling you.
You're talking some kids, my friend.
Mike, it's easy if you are having a bread, even it was luxury to us. Just imagine if you're having that bread in your heart, like a plastic, because even those big days, lunchbox it was expensive, maybe, or they cannot, they are not available, maybe.
Exactly. You know?
Yeah. Because I remember that the way we grow up, we used to hustle even. The moment Onyandi take a petu, you are swimming with goats and the pigs and.
Yeah, no, but during our times, there were plenty things, you know.
Challenge, man. Yeah, but at least we have food.
Yeah, no, and I think the rainfall at that time, it wasn't problematic as it is now.
It's now, yeah.
So there has been always food, you know.
The food
it's pap every day, but you know.
yeah, but we survive.
Yeah.
Because remember, wherever even you're going to school, you have to pass by after even we come to after the Mbeda Daninga, Tadinyari, when you're there.
Yeah.
These things was available, but now we can see in the
There were so many matanga, just maybe like a couple of
3 months.
Yeah, it's true.
They're getting rotten. But our big days, those matang watayikas yung kute sem.
Exactly. As things have changed, man. Yeah.
Things have changed, and I think it's a new technology which we start adapting.
Yeah.
Even the bread, man. The bread used to be like staying home for a week.
Yeah.
But today, bread, my friends.
Two days.
You cannot eat it.
Yeah, no, you can't.
It's already spoiled.
Yeah, it's just because of how the people want maximized profit, and therefore they use a little.
Exactly.
A little, they just little.
Things which are not supposed to be eaten.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was even watching a video where, you know, this apple. I don't want to spoil the people, but the color.
Yeah.
They spoil something in the tree, and even the fungus, they are not interested to eat that apple.
Yeah, I mean, you look. I have been at some farming in Cape Town. For those apples had don't wait until the another seasons where they continues. It's continuous. From once they are.
It's a continuous thing.
Yeah, it's a continuous thing, and you doubt whether how natural this is.
Natural is. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Nothing like that.
I mean, think of the chicken that you eat. You know.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, you're already eating a big chicken.
So you already think that's a chicken. Yeah.
That can't be right. Seriously.
No. Those are things which are. But okay, when I come to, I think around the bridge, you know, in our country, it's out of love.
Yeah.
Serious, like on the bridge is not happening in our country. And serious, I don't know what is the aim of ICC.
Just because there is no punishment. If there was a strict, you know, punishment of those who are involved.
Rumble, so can see.
Yeah.
Look here now, we are even giving them calls in the front page today. They need a bailout.
Yeah.
But you're just wondering, if they're still buying the petrol, they are still getting money from the, what? VIT
now, imagine now, before we come to the end, because imagine now, this is now the institution that will lead our discovery in terms of oil and gas.
Exactly.
You know.
Then now they have a bailout.
They are the one who are asking for bailout. And we are told there are so much money coming in, investment coming in. And
no, it can't be right.
And sometimes you ask, what a contradiction, you know.
What's going on here?
What a contradiction. Hmm? Yeah.
Serious.
All right,
Mike, sorry, man. Sorry to come late. But anyway, things are not okay. Things need to be changed.
Yeah, no, there are a couple of things that are changing, but there are one that are even worse. No, I'm talking, I was talking today, like, for example, the African actually what they targeted 2025 to eliminate poverty. I mean, to eliminate hunger. Imagine we are 2025. And the actually hunger got worse.
Oh, it's getting worse.
All right, man.
We never change, my friend. Okay, thank you, man.
Yeah, so thanks for coming through.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So yes, basically, let's bring us to the end of our unpacking the day today. So join us tomorrow again at the same time on the same station here on Eagle FM. And, I'm going to leave you in really, really capable hand of Helmut. And as I said, if you want to have a smile, at least after I have drained you with so much information, you just maybe want some kind of a relax a little bit and, have a smile on your face. This is this. That's the program. That's the show you should be joining in. Stay tuned. Helmut is coming up with Mind the Gap. For me, until tomorrow, goodbye for now.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impa just got even better.
we have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.